Anarpita charitam chirat karuna vatirna kalao. Samarpayitum unato jvala rasam svabhakti sriyam. Hari purata sundara dhyuti karamba sandipita. Sada hridaya kandare spuratao va sachinandana. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the Son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Purport. This verse, Vidagdha Madhava 1-2, also appears in the Adi Lila 1-4 and 3-4. In his commentary on the Vidagdha Madhava, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Mahaprabho spurtim vina harilila rasa svadhananu papater iti bhavaha. Without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot describe the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami said, Vo yushmakam hridaya rupa guhayam sachi nandano hari pakshe simha spurato. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is exactly like a lion that kills all the elephants of desire, be awakened within everyone's heart. For by his merciful blessings, one can understand the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Verses of Srila Rupa Goswami's play Vidagdha Madhava. The opening verse, Shuddhanam Chandrinam Api Madhuri Monmada Damani Dadhana Radhadi Pranaya Gaha Gana Sharai Surabhitam Samantat Shanta Podgama Vishama Samsara Sharani Pranitam te trishnam haratu hari lila shikarini. May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. The pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like shikarini, a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. They overpower the pride of even the nectar produced on the moon, for they distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And then this is then the next verse about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the whole Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami makes the point that one cannot be actually a devotee of Krishna without being a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one cannot be a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without being a devotee of Radha and Krishna. Because the two go together. One cannot separate the two. Is that of the one of the devotees being together cannot be separated from the devotees being separated. Of course, we understand separation, it's not actually separation, because they are always together by their mood. But the physical proximity does not appear. But that closeness then is appreciated within the mind. So, therefore then, the one nourishes the other. Is that when Radha and Krishna are together, the devotee is with the Lord, then that has a particular taste, and that is nourished by when the devotees are not with the Lord. Like that. One has to have both. Otherwise, if Krishna is always with the devotee, then the specialness of his association will always be appreciated, but it's appreciated more when it's not available. And then when one gains that association, then it has some new flavor. So these two go together like this. Some will say that when they are together, that is the highest feelings of emotion. And others give the opinion that when they are separated, that the association is at the feelings are at its highest point. The wonderful pastimes of them being together, then this is what is always meditated upon, even in separation. When one's in separation, one doesn't think about being separated. One thinks about when one is with Krishna, or when the devotees are with Krishna. So that always becomes the focus. So they are the main pastimes. But the intensity of separation is much greater. That is a higher principle. Because in there, then, so many feelings are there, and it's very, very strong, like this. So Krishna, then he came to taste these feelings in separation, right? Because he is with Srimati Radharani. So some taste, that flavor is there. But to fully taste the separation, then he comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in her mood. And in this way then offers service. So to fully understand or appreciate the mood of Krishna, then Lord Chaitanya must be there, because it's always natural. One wants to appreciate or know what the other is feeling. That is the natural position. So then the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu become manifest in this way. So one cannot separate the two. Of course, in others, those when we are dealing with Radha and Krishna pastimes in opulence, as we discussed last night, then separation is not as important. Being together is the important thing. Separation is there, but it's just a matter of time before they get together. So it's a slightly different feeling. And the separation may be there sometimes, but that is not a major aspect of contemplation. Because being together, that's when the opulence is manifest, the opulence of their wonderful association and pastimes. So that therefore we see that there might be those who are worshipping Krishna without worshipping Lord Chaitanya. But factually, if we want to understand the mood of Krishna fully, then Lord Chaitanya must be worshipped. Otherwise, one will not actually understand. One cannot be considered. Because if you're just worshipping Radha and Krishna, then one is interested just in when they're together, and then that's very nice. And we are very happy with that. But the feelings of separation then are very great. And we see that it is a major amount of the pastime, if we look, right? There's only a certain amount of the time of the day that Krishna is with any one group of devotees, you know? He's not with any one group of devotees 24 hours. Cowherd boys, he'll, you know, maybe there in the morning and the early afternoon, late morning, and then early evening. And sometimes some of them also a little bit more, but at night and in noontime, he is not with them. So he is not present with them. The gopis, then he will be with them at noontime and at nighttime. And in the day, then they can see him, but they cannot interact with him directly. And Mother Jashoda and the other other elder gopas and gopis, then they'll be with Krishna in the morning and in the evening, but not during the rest of the day. So you see, then this feeling of separation is always a present feature in the pastimes. Like that. And we see that Krishna himself, if it is not such a major aspect, then why is it his pastimes as Krishna? Then he leaves, he goes to Mathura. And it's not that he is not feeling separation. He is explaining that he is also feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan, but he has his duties to do in Dwarka. He has, you know, made the statement, yadahi rahi dharma sra glanir bhavati. So when the different irreligion is present, then it makes it very hard for people to surrender to the Lord. And if there's irreligion is going on, and especially if irreligion is made to look very attractive, then people completely forget about piety, right? Like you see, you know, all the advertisements. Before it would be some nice thing, you know, there'd be some auspicious aspect to you know, selling whatever they're selling, you know, like you have Ganesh Bidis or something, you know, something auspicious would be there. But nowadays they, you know, do away with such, you know, whatever it is, you know, delicate points, and now it's a matter of, you know, it's that you know, the whole, your attitude, you have to have an attitude. So one must be very filled with material desire, and one must be very proud of it, like that. Then you will be happy. So this kind of presentation then increases the ego. And we must remember that ego is the only reason we're in the material world. Right? You don't have ego outside of the material world. It means false ego. Because of this false ego of thinking I am the enjoyer, thinking that I am the controller, then the living entity is bound in this material world. If you get rid of ego, you're out of this material world. Therefore, this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, is then stated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that this is the Gaudiya Vaishnava's Siddha Pranali. That by understanding this verse, you are not in this world. You're already out. You're out. You're on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. And because you understand that you are servant of Krishna and servant of the Vaishnavas, therefore, then one that situates one on the transcendental platform. So this is the most important aspect of our philosophy. His understanding is that we are not the enjoyer. So as we increase this idea that I am the enjoyer, I will enjoy, right? Standing on some street corner in Bombay, you know, you have on whatever's the latest fashionable items that attracts you, you know, and you've learned a few things from the movies, a few things in English that you can say. And so in this way, then you impress, you know, your friends and everybody else in the street. In fact, the whole of Bombay is extremely impressed and like this. At least this is how we are thinking. Generally, no one notices, but But we are very pleased with ourselves. So as these things become increased, then it becomes very hard for someone to take shelter of Krishna when there's problems. Right? Because the whole point is that you're not in control, right? Right? I don't know if you have on this side, but in Calcutta they have a mobile phone company called Command. Right? I don't know, you have it here? No, you have another one. So their advertisement is take command, right, of your life. Take command of the situation, take command of your life, take command of everything, everybody else's life, you know, whatever, by your mobile phone. So they're always trying to show how you can take control of your soul, take control of your own life. Why let someone else guide you or direct you or control you? You take control. So this mood of ego, it sounds very nice, sounds very interesting, you know, very attractive. But when that's there, then people do not surrender to God. Because if something goes wrong, the natural thing is to surrender to a higher authority. Like a child has some problem, then they go to the parents. Parents have some problem, they go to their parents, or they go to leaders of the community, or guru, or Krishna. In other words, there's the whole idea of authority. That is one of the major principles of the whole Vedic culture, or just of human life, is that there is such a thing as authority and responsibility. Right? You have authority, and you have your authorities, and they are responsible of you, and you have those who you are responsible to, these above you and below you. So responsibility and authority, these are major principles. Of course, the modern thing is you want authority with no responsibility, right? This is the whole idea of when you democratic idea or, you know, committees, right? Committee means that the committee has authority but no responsibility. Right? You go to them and say, why is this? I don't know. They voted for it. You know, I abstained, you know, like that, you know. But you don't mind having the authority. So we see that the principles are always trying to create control, but without any having to be responsible to any authority or to any others. So all these things then grow up in the heart, and because of this, then Dharma cannot flourish. If Dharma is not there, generally people are not surrendering to God, because they will try to make their own arrangement. Something goes wrong, I will arrange it. I will take care. Right? That's the whole thing. You always see some very resourceful, you know, very violent and clever Shudra always getting himself out of so many different situations, right? That's the thing. Whatever comes up, he's got some clever thing that he does, just, you know, fought up on the spur of the moment, and he gets himself out of the situation and is successful. So then we get great inspiration that, yes, by my intelligence, by my endeavor, I will overcome all the difficulties of this world. So then people are not going to surrender to Krishna. So, therefore, Dharma has to be established. So what is Dharma Glani, then Krishna must come to establish Dharma. It must be made. Otherwise, what's the chance for people to go back to Godhead? What's the chance? So Krishna has his duties, he must do all these things also. It means, first, if you're going to appreciate the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, first you must surrender to the Lord. So if one is so caught up in material desire, how one will surrender? So part of Krishna's duty is to establish the proper situation in which one can take up devotional service. Therefore, he goes to Mathura, he goes to Dwarka, and then he, in this way, so many adharmic persons are destroyed, and the proper religious platform can be established. And then from that, people can then surrender to the Lord. So this is the process. But in that, you see that other things are also present. It means while he's there, he's establishing Dharma, he's relating to all these other devotees and all different rasas, and that, performing so many nice pastimes, but at the same time, he is also tasting this mood of separation. He's also tasting this. So even Krishna is tasting this. So he's only in Vrindavan for up until he's 10 years and 8 months old. Then he goes to Mathura. So then we see the rest of the time that he's present, right? Basically for the other 115 years, then that feelings of separation are then tasted. Then we see as Lord Ramachandra, then he is also tasting these pastimes of separation, right? He's married for a very short time, and then he's going to be crowned as a Yuvaraj, and then he's sent to the forest. You know, and they get to the forest, they're not there very long, and then Sita is kidnapped. So then he is tasting all this mood of separation. Then they get Sita, they bring back, they establish again, they're sitting on the throne, and then somebody makes some complaint, and Sita is banished. So then this mood of separation is then always being tasted by Lord Ramachandra. So whatever, this mood is then very much appreciated by the Lord. So then he comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste, but now these other he's tasted as the Lord. He's tasted separation, right? As the Lord in Parakya Rasa, as Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura. And he has tasted separation in Swakya as Ramachandra. But now, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's going to taste the separation from the platform or the mood of the devotee. Right? So that is much greater and much more intense. Right? Because Krishna is actually self-satisfied. But he expands his happiness by expanding the devotees. Right? But the devotee, their only satisfaction is Krishna, serving Krishna. So therefore, separation from Krishna for the devotee is more intense than what Krishna's feeling. Like that. So he comes to taste this as the Lord's devotee and that of the supreme devotee. Right? So now, practically we see then the living entities, because of these material desires, then they are unable to appreciate these finer points. One is very much absorbed in oneself. And because of this, then one is not able to appreciate higher points, higher, either the points of religion or higher. And this is due to material desire. So then it's another point it makes here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's like a lion that destroys these elephantine desires, material desires. So these desires, an elephant's very powerful, very strong, but they can be killed by or captured, you know, controlled by a lion. So these desires, material desires, then are controlled by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is able to defeat these desires. He is able to destroy these desires. So by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then one is able to overcome these desires by being able to become established in the chanting of the holy name and to be able to take up the association of devotees and to expand this preaching movement. One is able to engage oneself fully by his mercy in this Sankirtan mission. Then one can conquer over these material desires. Otherwise, if we are using other methods, how we will do? If we are going to sit and do yajna all day, there's not much chance we will be fully engaged. Or if we're just doing only deity worship all day, with all the mantras and technical points, this and that, that will also not engage us, right? And to sit and perform tapasya and meditation, you know, and be completely fixed, that also we will not do. So by this chanting of the holy name and by this process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, where all aspects of our you know, life can be engaged in the Sankirtan mission. All needs can be engaged. Then it becomes very, very wonderful. So he is able to help us overcome these desires. Then we can actually come to this platform of tasting the in devotional service, what he is given, what was not given. The most says here, no incarnation, by his causeless mercy to bestow, he is descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before. The most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So the most elevated mellow, so within this conjugal rasa, then there are many levels, there's many aspects. Many we see is also within this Vrindavan pastimes is that they give the opportunity to become a shakya or a gopi. And these gopis then are able to perform service for Krishna. They dance with Krishna, serve Krishna in so many ways. In this way they are the best of the devotees, all the gopis. But we see that in this conjugal rasa, right, the most elevated mellow of conjugal rasa. But we see conjugal rasa is also there in Dwarka or in Mathura. It is also there. So what is special about Vrindavan? So we see in Mathura, then Kubja, she also has a conjugal relationship with Krishna. Krishna saved her from being a hunchback. And then she became a very extremely beautiful and very famous girl in Mathura. And so then she wanted to please Krishna, so she invited him to his house, her house. And then she would dress nicely and sit nicely and do so many things. And Krishna sat for a little while just to please her that he had come to her house. And then he left. Because Kubja is the personification of the Lord's Purusha Shakti, or the enjoying Shakti. So the Purusha Shakti means it's actually the mood is masculine. So Krishna's already, he's the male. So then it doesn't make for, you know, on the subtle platform, doesn't make for great interaction. Because she's enjoying the whole situation. That Krishna's come and all that. And in this way, so it's nice. So this is called ordinary conjugal mellow. While in Dwarka, then the queens, they are married to Krishna, and they render so many wonderful services. But we see that the mellow that is here, because they are married, then they have given 50%, right? And they are taking 50%. That is the position of marriage. Is that they please the husband, but the husband also pleases them. So, you know, it's a teamwork like this. So they each please each other. So they are serving 50%, they are enjoying 50%. That is just the natural position. But we see in the residents of Vrindavan, in the Parakiya Rasa, then the gopis, what they're giving is 100%. So this is different, very different. So therefore this is the, you know, of the conjugal mellow, this is most elevated. Then within this we see, okay, so they've surrendered everything to Krishna. So the gopis, then they are serving Krishna. And then they are giving him great happiness. And according to Krishna, as the Vishai, as the enjoyer, as we discussed yesterday, depending upon who is standing in front of him, then they are able to draw that particular mellow from Krishna. According to their devotion, their position. And then Krishna, he enjoys this reciprocation between the Lord and the devotees, between the ashray and the vishay. The devotee is the ashray, or the shelter of the rasa, and Krishna is the enjoyer of that rasa. means he is all rasa, so it's not a matter. He is, of course, he's the shelter of everything. But he, the devotee, is the shelter of that particular relationship with the Lord, because otherwise he is rasa, so he's all those rasas. So they draw from him that, and he is able to taste that. And that pleases him. But now we must understand that Krishna, what is unique about Krishna is he's the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? He is in the mood of the enjoyer. Right? Completely. When he expands to Balaram, Balaram then has come from Krishna, so he is also servant of Krishna. He is fully Krishna. Right? Krishna Prabhupada makes it, the only difference between Balaram and Krishna is Krishna's white. Excuse me, Krishna is black and Balaram's white. Otherwise, potencies, everything, whatever Krishna, Balaram can do. But Balaram, because he's come from Krishna, is in the mood of servant. So besides, he is the Supreme Personality of servitorship, besides being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he has both these moods. So then we see Krishna, he is unique in all the forms of manifestations of Godhead, in that he is purely the enjoyer. Right? The mood of that he is the servant is not there. He is the enjoyer. Right? Therefore, another reason why to come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can taste the mood of servant. Right? Balaram's already tasting it, right? Vishnu is already tasting it. Garbhadakshay Vishnu is already tasting it. But Krishna is not tasting it. So he comes as his devotee to taste that. So him being the complete means every aspect of Godhead is present within him. Right? There's not one aspect that's not there. It's there in its fullest, completest form. Right? So, and then he expands to all the other forms. So then, his counterpart, the complete counterpart, the Surup Shakti, then Srimati Radharani, she is the complete devotee, the supreme devotee. And then, she, therefore, for every aspect of Krishna's personality, she has a aspect to match that. Right? Which, when she expands to all other forms, they won't have. Because they're an expansion. They're only part of her. They're not her. They're part of her. Part of some of her qualities, they are manifest. Therefore, they cannot have all the qualities that Srimati Radharani has. Therefore, there are aspects of Krishna's moods that they will not be able to address in the same way that Srimati Radharani can address. Therefore, of the gopis, only Srimati Radharani can fully please Krishna in all situations, all circumstances. Right? All circumstances. There's no circumstance that Krishna is in that Radharani does not have some way to please Krishna. Therefore, that mood is, so that is special. Of all these gopis, then Radharani is special. So now, then we see, then the next step is that to assist, why we are devotees of Radha and Krishna, right? We're not just devotees of Krishna. We see that one could be devotee of Krishna and be a gopi, but the difficulty comes is then we will not be able to please Krishna as much as Srimati Radharani will be able to please. So now comes the choice. Who do we want to be happy? Krishna or ourself, right? So now if the involvement is we want to be happy, then you bring in some other aspects, right? These other subtle aspects. If it's more, then it turns into Swakya Rasa of Dwarka. And if it's less, then it is within Vrindavan. But now if we want to be happy because we ourselves are doing this service, then we can only please Krishna partially. And we must remember that Radharani, she is the complete form of the internal potency. And then others, Lalita, Vishakha, the other major gopis, and they are her main expansions. Right? And then if you take these expansions to the end of the line, then you reach a point. The end of the line is the material energy. Right? It means the internal energy, where it comes and it meets the external energy. So then, right at that point where they meet, there's a region called the Tathasta Shakti. Right? So that is the jivas. So we can understand that even we want to do that service, we're expanded all the way down. So then we can understand that the amount of qualities that we would have, though they are perfect, still will not in any way compare to Radharani and her associates. Therefore, if we want to see Krishna the most happy, then the best way is to see that Radha and Krishna are together. Right? That we assist in Radha and Krishna's pastimes to see that they are together. Then when they are together, then Krishna is the most happy. And because we've helped with that, then naturally, then Krishna is pleased, we will be the most happy. So we will be more happy assisting in the Radha Krishna pastimes than directly trying ourselves to be the one who is interacting with Krishna. Therefore then, so this aspect, this is what's very, very special, is that the mood of being the assistant of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Then one sees, then what one experiences is even greater, even more. That is, yeah. So then to actually understand Krishna, one has to be a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because only then one understands or appreciates the position of the resident of Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, the position of the gopis, the position of Srimati Radharani. And one can also taste that service of seeing that Radha and Krishna are together. So that becomes very, very, very special. So this is, you cannot, without approaching Lord Chaitanya, this will not be understood. It will not be known. Right? What time is it? Any questions on this? Mike.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. You were just making the point that we're more happy assisting in the pastimes to see that Radha and Krishna are together than personally engaging in those pastimes with Krishna, because Krishna and his Radharani's and her immediate expansions are so much more qualified than us minuscule jivas. So I'm trying to understand this in terms of the mood of being servant, of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. So by the jivas somehow assisting in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, how far removed we should be.
In other words, a Vaishnava is recognized by his actual humility.
Другими словами, Вайшнава можно распознать по его истинному смирению.
This is the most important characteristic of Vaishnava.
И это наиболее важное качество, наиболее важная характеристика.
And as we were explaining before, that because of a Vaishnava's humility.
И как мы уже объясняли до этого, благодаря такому неподдельному смирению.
It may appear that actually that he's always giving credit to somebody else.
Внешне, И в целом это так выглядит, что он никогда не приписывает заслугу себе. Он всегда считает, что кто-то другой заслуживает.
He thinks himself very unqualified.
И он думает о себе как о том, кто не обладает никакими качествами.
Srila Prabhupada would always speak in that way.
Srila Prabhupada часто говорил об этом.
He would always present himself to be very low and unqualified, yet that his only qualification was the mercy of his Guru Maharaj.
И Srila Prabhupada часто говорил о себе так. Srila Prabhupada представлял себя как того, кто не обладает никакими качествами, и что его единственной характеристикой позитивной является то, что он предан своему гуру.
Prabhupada's humility was very disarming.
И смирение Шрила Прабхупады было очень таким обезоруживающим.
I remember once in this lecture that Prabhupada was giving.
Я помню, как однажды Шрила Прабхупада давал лекцию.
Where Prabhupada was describing the glories of the brahminical class.
Шрила Прабхупада описывал величие брахманов.
And an envious person was speaking out in the audience.
И один завистливый человек, который присутствовал на лекции, он начал говорить.
Because he was thinking Prabhupada was simply glorifying himself.
Потому что он думал, что Прабхупада он прославляет себя.
And he was thinking that he's sitting on this big fancy. Why are you sitting on this big fancy seat?
И тогда этот человек, он бросил вызов Прабхупаде. Почему вы сидите на таком роскошном возвышенном сиденье?
And he said, see, you're presenting yourself the glories of a first-class person, the Brahmins, and you're presenting yourself as first-class person yourself.
И он сказал, вот посмотрите, вы говорите о возвышенном положении брахманов, и вы сами себя представляете как такого человека очень возвышенного.
And Prabhupada said, I am not first-class man.
И Шрила Прабхупада сказал, нет, я не возвышенный человек.
He said, I'm fifth class man.
Я вообще человек пятого класса.
Because my life is dedicated to serving the four classes.
Потому что моя жизнь, она посвящена тому, чтобы служить людям четырех других классов.
Completely disarming.
Шрила Прабхупада полностью обезоружил этого человека.
Man couldn't say anything.
И этот человек не мог больше ничего сказать.
Prabhupada immediately ended, the man couldn't say anything, he said, okay, begin kirtan.
Шрила Прабхупада закончил сразу же, и этот человек он больше ничего не мог сказать, и Шрила Прабхупада сразу же сказал, начинайте
киртан.
Есть множество примеров смирения Прабхупады.
It's the humility of a devotee that is so makes a devotee so attractive.
И вот это смирение преданного, оно делает преданного настолько привлекательным.
And especially it's the humility of the devotee that makes the devotee so attracted to the Lord.
И в особенности именно это смирение, оно делает преданного привлекательным для Господа.
So much so that the Lord, when he sees such displays of humility,
настолько привлекательным для Господа, что когда Господь видит проявление такого смирения,
then immediately his attention is drawn to that devotee.
То сразу же Господь он начинает он обращает свое внимание на этого преданного. И он дает этому преданному, уделяет ему все свое внимание благодаря такому смирению. И поскольку преданный о себе думает как вот о таком падшем человеке. Поэтому это происходит. И вот это то, чему учат эти баджаны Бхактинода Такура из Шаранагати.
This other bhajan that we spoke from, Amajivan, we gave the translation for.
И мы говорили вот еще об одном баджане, Амарадживан, мы приводили его перевод.
This is also a very nice bhajan. We can chant that bhajan tonight too.
И это очень замечательный баджан, мы можем его также спеть сегодня.
Do you have a song sheet? No. Oh, I have to sit down here. Да, может, да, после этого. После баджана.
Yeah, I think Gopananda asked if I would explain about what happened in the courtroom with Lord Nrisimhadeva.
Перед тем, как начать не рассказать историю, речь, которая шла сегодня утром.
That's actually instructive in some respects. It's an instructive story. But I guess before I can explain it, I have to give a little history.
Перед тем, как объяснить, я должен рассказать предысторию.
think I told this story once before.
I
seem to recall having told this story once
before.
Anyways. It was... There was a court case against the temple in Boston that began in
1977.
A young girl had been living in the temple and was claiming that after living in the temple and practicing Krishna consciousness, her life was damaged. And she wanted to sue the temple for damages.
Одна девушка жила в храме, и после того, как она жила в храме, она начала говорить, что из-за того, что она жила в храме, ее жизнь была каким-то образом, жизнь была нанесена ущерб.
And in America, it is very common for such any kind of lawsuit can the slight, even the smallest amount of claim. Can lead to a lawsuit.
В Америке даже какие-то небольшие претензии могут на основании каких-то небольших претензий можно устроить суд.
It's a very strange legal system in America.
В Америке очень сильная юридическая система.
And you can go to court for anything.
И вы можете подать в суд на что угодно.
Because in America, the whole legal system is simply set up for making the lawyers rich.
Потому что в Америке вся юридическая система, система правосудия, устроена для того, чтобы делать юристов богатыми людьми, адвокатов богатыми.
Anyways, she lived in the temple, and
Итак, она жила в храме.
For three months.
На протяжении трех месяцев.
It's a total of 3 months that she lived in the temple.
В общем, она жила 3 месяца.
Not only that, but the temple allowed her to live there because she was a victim of spousal abuse. Spousal abuse? She is being abused by her spouse. Yeah. Well, it wasn't really a husband, that was the whole thing. That's why I used the word spousal abuse.
Она была как бы жертвой определенного рода насилия со стороны одного человека.
I'm telling the story. You know the story too, but.
I haven't heard in Russian yet. Especially not with the Chutis translation.
I won't go into so much the history. Just a little bit so that you can understand a little bit about why I was sitting in a courtroom in the United States.
Я расскажу лишь немножко, достаточно, чтобы вы поняли, почему я сидел в зале суда в Соединенных Штатах.
And why I was sitting in the witness stand.
Почему я сидел на скамье свидетелей.
And why I was answering all these different questions from the prosecuting attorney.
Почему я отвечал на всякого рода различные вопросы.
I was the GBC at the time.
В то время я был GBC.
That was in 19... I think this court... Well, the court case started in
1977.
But it didn't come into the courtroom until 10 years later. It took 10 years to get it into the courtroom. And the ironic thing about it is that although she started the court case in
1977,
in 1981, she came back to the temple. She was doing service for the deities. And her mother, who was also participating in the court case, was sewing outfits for the deities.
Ее мать, которая также участвовала в этом суде, шила одежды для божеств.
And they were coming to the temple quite regularly.
Они достаточно регулярно приходили в храм.
Going to the morning programs. She'd come to Bhagavatam class. She'd come to speak to me regularly. I was the temple president at the time.
На лекции Бхагаватам. В то время она приходила со мной, разговаривала часто. Я в то время был президентом храма.
And at that time, we said something to our lawyers. They started a court case against us 4 years ago. Shouldn't we file something into the court rooms so that we can have this case thrown out because there's no case anymore?
Мы сказали адвокатам, юристам, что может быть мы должны занести это также в дело. И хотя они начали 4 года назад судебное разбирательство, подали в суд, но тем не менее похоже, что никакого суда не должно состояться, потому что все уже понятно.
And our lawyers said, nah, forget it, don't do anything about it. There's no need to do anything. Why bring it up?
Но адвокат сказал, нет, в этом нет нужды. Не нужно так делать.
So, if we would have filed in the courtroom, then all they would have to do is say yes.
Dismissed. Если бы мы это все занесли в дело, то
the girl, she had to agree that yes, we withdraw the charges.
Тогда в то время эта девушка должна была бы просто согласиться, что да, подписать документ, что я не имею никаких претензий.
And she had no charges.
Но и действительно в то время у нее не было никаких претензий.
She was very happy in Krishna consciousness at this time. How could she have any charges? But the lawyer said, "Don't file the papers," and we kept on saying, "Shouldn't we?" And they insisted, "No, don't do it."
Но адвокат сказал, не надо ничего заносить дело, но хотя мы настаивали, он сказал, нет, не нужно.
So then, I guess a few years later, then. They decided again that they wanted to go back and start the court case again.
Они решили, что нужно опять вернуться к этому судебному разбирательству.
Yeah, because there were other court cases at the time in America.
Потому что в Америке в это время происходили другие судебные разбирательства.
People were going to get money from these court cases.
И было похоже как-то так, что люди, может быть, получат даже деньги на основе этих судебных разбирательств.
And their lawyers convinced them that we've invested a lot of energy in this court case for you.
И их адвокаты убедили их девушку и мать, что они сказали, мы столько сил вложили в это судебное разбирательство, нужно продолжить.
And we want to get our hard-earned, we want to get our money back.
Мы хотим получить деньги.
We worked hard and we haven't gotten any money from you. So their lawyers convinced them to take it back into the courtroom.
Их, что нужно опять возобновить.